Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning of the day of Fire on the Earth. We're here with Dr. Peter Williamson. We've been talking this week about St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs there. You can download them on whatever device. It gives you an opportunity to listen to them whenever you like. You could just download our app, which gives you access to, you know, our TV shows, radio shows, newsletter, a lot of free articles and things that we write and put together really to build you up in your faith and give you strength. And so we're going to continue our conversation today. Peter, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Dr. Peter Williamson is the Adam Cardinal Mita Chair in Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. So we have a real-life scholar in the house today and this week talking about these things. So it's really great to have you back. Thanks. You for coming.
Thanks.
We ended yesterday with a fantastic verse from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I'm wondering, Peter, if just that's kind of a culmination of something Paul's addressing there. There's so much in that verse. Why don't you just share whatever you'd like about what you see there in relationship to Paul's purpose there in Galatians?
Sure. So what Paul's addressing in Galatians is the mistaken idea that Christians need to observe the law of Moses. And in order to be justified, that is, in order to stand in a right relationship with God, to be seen as righteous with God. And Paul says in verse 16 of chapter 2, "We know that a man is not justified by works of the law, by keeping the law of Moses, but through faith in Jesus Christ." So it's believing in Jesus Christ, and it's, if you will, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to us that enables us to be righteous, to be in a right relationship with God. But then he explains that more in verse 20, the verse that you just read. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ." And this is really a more vivid way of saying that with Christ, we, in baptism, we die with Christ and are raised with Christ. Well, Paul makes it more specific. Not only do we die with Christ, we're crucified with Christ. And we're united with him in his living within us. We're united to Christ through faith and baptism so that he lives in us. And that's why Paul says, "It is no longer I who live. I've died. My old self, my old man is gone. But Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So he's saying the foundation of my life now is no longer myself, my old self, but it's instead my union with Christ. That's what enables me to live a new life, is I'm somehow united to Jesus Christ through faith and baptism and to his dying and rising. I just can't help but say that this makes it one of my favorite verses in Galatians, is he says, "Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So for Paul, it's not just like a theological truth. It's a personal relationship. This Jesus didn't just love the human race to die for them. He loved me and gave himself for me. And Paul was not trying to say something that was unique to him as an apostle. He was trying to say something that is true for every Christian, that the Son of God loved me, Peter Williamson, loved you, Peter Herbeck, loved every one of our listeners right now, and gave himself for you personally, so that you could have a relationship with him, live in him, no longer live your old life, but live a new life. And that's the basis of your relationship with God. That's what makes you righteous or just in God's eyes, is your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, that's good. The term justified, you've been explaining that well. You said, you know, that puts us in right relationship with God. And as you were saying it, I was thinking of, I love this verse from John. He said, John the Apostle, in his first letter said, "Beloved, we are God's children now. He gave us power to become children of God." Yeah. And so when you ask, what's another way of saying right relationship?
Yeah.
The right relationship for the image of God, for us, for human beings, is to become children of God.
Right.
And so,
right in his own family.
Right, exactly, exactly. So it's not just like a legal orientation or something like, okay, I'm legally now rightly ordered to God. No, he actually, because the Son, the true Son has come, has given me a share of his life, which makes me a son or a daughter of God and an heir, which Paul will talk about at some point here in Galatians as well. So it's so good. And then let me just ask you this. He said, the life I now live in the flesh, which you explained well, that means in the body, we're still living here, I live by faith in the Son of God. Say a word about the kind of faith he's talking about. What does it look like?
That's a really good question, because sometimes people have a very narrow idea of faith. It's faith is just like intellectual assent to the truth. Okay, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus died and rose from the dead. But faith in the Bible is a more relational word. So it means faith, and it means faithfulness. It means relationship. Of trust. So we're trusting in Jesus to put us in a right relationship with God, but it also means that we aim to be faithful to him. It's friendship. It's a friendship word.
Yeah.
Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He trusted God and the promises that God had made to him in Genesis 15. And we have to put trust in God, but we also need to remain faithful to God. So it's a word that has a kind of thick meaning, a broader meaning, not just a kind of narrow intellectual assent meaning. It's not just like, okay, I believe that. No. Yeah. And there's a lot of Catholics, a lot of Christians who say, I believe that. I'm going to heaven. I'm okay.
Yeah.
And no. Faith is more than that. It's a commitment. Yeah. It's an entrusting of ourselves.
Even the devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God.
Right.
But he's not going to entrust his being to Jesus. He's not going to entrust himself to Jesus and live for Jesus. He's living for himself.
Right.
And so the transition for us is in the big dimension of this is like Abraham's the father of faith. And Abraham's, he's part of the whole discussion here, isn't he? In chapter 2, in the idea that Abraham became... He left all of his security, everything he'd built, and became a nomad of faith, trusting in God's revelation to him, I'm going to make you a father of a great nation even though you're too old to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you to a promised land even though you don't know where it is right now.
Yeah.
I'm calling you to leave everything that you're secure, your whole identity is built on.
Yeah.
And I want you to follow me now and put all your eggs in my basket.
Yeah.
And the promise will be fulfilled.
Yeah. So faith is not just something intellectual. It's relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. So can we say a word about Abraham's faith and why that's important here? You know, the idea that Abraham, his faith was counted to him as righteousness?
Let me.
Would you like to go somewhere else?
Well,
no problem.
Let's look at what precedes it, because we're in chapter 3 here.
Okay.
And Paul says, let me ask you this, after telling about his experience, you know, making arguments for justification by faith out of how did he get that gospel? It was through it was revealed to him by God and by Christ. Then he goes on and he appeals to their own experience to say, what's the basis of your relationship with God? He said, think about it. Now remember back. So verse 2, let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So in other words, he knows they had an experience of receiving the Spirit.
Like a defining transformational experience of encountering the Spirit when they came to faith.
And probably when they believed or when they were baptized or hands were laid on, somewhere in there, early Christians had an experience of the Spirit. They were introduced to the Spirit. Then he elaborates, are you so foolish? Having begun with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? In other words, with what is merely human. Did you experience so many things in vain, if it really is in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you? So the experience of the Spirit is an ongoing characteristic of the life of these Galatian Christians. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you? Still, they're having miracles, not just when Paul preached. Do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So in other words, he's saying, did I tell you all about the laws and observing Sabbaths and keeping the kosher and circumcision? Is that how you got the Spirit? No. I told you about Jesus. You heard it with faith. You believed he's the Son of God. You believed he died and rose and is coming again. And when you believed and when you were baptized, you experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. And how did that come? It came through hearing with faith, not by works of the law.
Yeah, that's so important. And it helps us see as well that Christianity, in another way of explaining it, is a new life in the Holy Spirit. It's the foundational reality. And the Holy Spirit's a person. You know, the Holy Spirit's life was poured out on Pentecost. And certainly, all you read through Acts of the Apostles and places, every time there was an encounter where the gospel was preached and people began to have faith, the Spirit was manifest clearly.
Right.
And people would prophesy, they'd
right.
pray in tongues. These things would happen. So Paul's appealing to what he knew they all shared in common, which was a living experience of the Holy Spirit
right.
as a foundational, defining reality to what it meant for them to become followers and believers in Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I learned from Father Van Waal, the co-author of this book, because the book is a translation of his book in Italian on Galatians, is the point is not only that Paul is using a comparable experience. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, was it by law or faith? And he says, obviously, it's by faith. But what Van Waal says is his choice of talking about reception of the Holy Spirit is not accidental, because it is the Holy Spirit that justifies us.
Oh, yeah.
We're justified
yeah.
through the death of Jesus, but mm-hmm. it's the Holy Spirit that yeah. communicates justification to us. And Paul says this explicitly in 1 Corinthians 6, where he talks about the kind of conduct that excludes people from the kingdom of God, and then, you know, drunkards, adulterers, mm-hmm. thieves, revilers, robbers, homosexuals. And then he says, such were some of you. In other words, you had that kind of conduct that was contrary to God, sexual immorality or idolatry or whatever. Such were some of you, but you were washed through baptism. You were sanctified, that is, made holy. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, meaning in the person of Christ, by being united to Christ, and in the Spirit of our God. So justification comes through our relationship with Christ and our relationship with the Holy Spirit, who makes us just, who puts us in that right relationship of sonship in relationship with God.
Yeah, and in some ways it's not even just like an external action that he's doing. We become sons of God because we become temples of the living God, and we
yeah.
share the very life, and that's how we become children of God. So it's not just a thought, okay, we got that clear in our head now, we're children of God.
Yeah.
But he's actually done something like ontologically in us. That's a big word. But I mean, he's come to live in us, and sharing, we become part of the body of Christ, which makes us children of God.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And that one takes a little bit more to unpack because
yeah.
it's in chapter 4. But
yeah.
maybe tomorrow we could take
yeah.
that up, because talking about our becoming sons of God is a big deal.
We just have a minute here. How important is it for listeners who've been baptized to know that they've been given this relationship with the Holy Spirit and there's more there for them?
Yeah. It's really important. And I have to say that it was the decisive thing in my own experience. I was baptized, and I actually from a Protestant background, but evangelical background, but I had a relationship with God, but I struggled a great deal. And I didn't have a personal knowledge or experiential relationship with God. And it was through getting connected with, some Christians at the University of Michigan, a Catholic group, where I learned about being baptized in the Spirit. And they prayed with me to be filled with the Spirit, to have the gift of the Spirit that I received in baptism released in me. And then I moved from just a working hard kind of approach to Christianity, relying on the flesh, on natural human strength, to one of being able to experience the help that the Holy Spirit gives. So everybody, all Catholics, always cry out, Holy Spirit,
yeah.
fill me.
Yeah, very good. Thank you so much for that, friends. That's your destiny as well. That's your inheritance, actually. You can walk in that and claim it because Christ has given it to you. God bless you. Hope you can tune in tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.